The following is a Reels Channel and Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.
This program contains graphic violence and sexual situations. Viewer discretion is advised. A police officer's ex-wife is found brutally murdered in her bathtub. There are no suspects.
You don't want to presume anybody's guilty of anything.
3 years later, the same police officer's next wife disappears.
If anything happens to me, Drew did it.
And suddenly, a nation is captivated. Could this be coincidence?
It's starting all over again. He did it to someone else.
Or was she the wife who knew too much? And who is this charismatic police sergeant?
I said, you've never felt bad for anything you've done? He goes, nothing.
Who seems to relish the media firestorm he alone ignited.
His cul-de-sac was full of TV trucks, and you had national cable shows.
Do you ever really know somebody?
It's a tale of deception, possession, and unrepentant evil.
He's going to kill me, and he's going to make it look like an accident.
He said, till death do us part. And he took that vow very seriously.
Meet Drew Peterson, just a cop on the beat, until murder made him famous. Before late 2007, Drew Peterson was just another name. But soon the world would be mesmerized by the strange behavior and unshakable confidence of the instantly notorious killer cop. Drew Peterson's story of terror, power, sex, and lies would spawn a movie featuring Hollywood stars Rob Lowe and Kaley Cuoco.
Drew killed Kathleen, and now I think he's gonna kill me.
I've become a media sensation now.
People Magazine senior crime reporter Steve Helling.
There were a lot of things about Drew Peterson that made this into a big story. First of all, he was one of the good guys. He was a decorated cop, and he murdered the mother of his children.
Just a half hour west of Chicago is the small suburb of Bolingbrook, Illinois. It is here in 1977 that Drew Peterson joins the Bolingbrook Police Force. And in just 2 years, he receives an Officer of the Year award. Working in the narcotics department, he seldom complains about his odd hours. Drew Peterson thrives in the nighttime.
When Drew started working narcotics, there was a salary and a standard of living that everyone thought that he should have. But he went way beyond that. So the questions remained, how was he making his money?
What have we here?
Nobody really knew, but everybody thought something's just not right with his standard of living.
Drew is well known around town and demonstrates a penchant for the ladies.
Hey, Drew.
Hi there. You know, I could have you arrested.
Why?
Because you're so hot, it ought to be illegal.
Thanks. Good one.
You think I'm kidding, don't you?
He had the badge, he had the power, and he fancied himself a ladies' man.
It is in 1992 when Drew Peterson meets Kathleen Savio on a blind date. Having been divorced once and now currently married, Drew tells Kathleen that he is single.
Drew was going on blind dates, but he was married.
He soon divorces his second wife and makes Kathleen his third but ill-fated bride.
Kathleen Savio's sister, Sue Savio Doman.
In the beginning, they were loving. He was loving towards her. She was always loving. She was always wanting him to kiss her and hug her.
The couple have two sons within 2 years of marriage, and Kathleen works hard to be a perfect wife and mother. But nestled in the perfect house in the perfect neighborhood, a disquieting pattern of emotional and physical abuse develops.
One of these. How am I supposed to get turned on by those?
Shut up, Drew.
Drew Peterson wanted control. He wanted absolute control, absolute obedience, absolute say in every aspect of Kathleen's life. But that wasn't who Kathleen was. She was a spitfire, and she would fight back.
Where you been?
What do you mean I've been shopping?
Let me see your receipt.
Wait, I just needed a couple pairs of shoes, Drew.
Show me the receipt!
Why don't you leave me alone?
and it may have cost her her life.
It is not long before Drew and Kathleen's arguments become violent.
You know what? Well, maybe I'm just not attracted to you anymore. You ever think of that? Maybe you don't have anything that excites me anymore. Maybe I...
Things got violent. Things got ugly. She went to the ER. This was an abusive, violent relationship.
Kathleen Savio's divorce attorney, Harry Smith.
She talked about being put in arm bars or holds. I'm assuming he would have known through his training as a police officer. He talked about multiple occasions being grabbed or pulled. There's too many times for me to remember that many specific instances because it was a constant complaint.
Kathleen turns to the police for help, but it is Drew's own friends who respond. Call after call, they fail to make an arrest, and Drew continues to silence Kathleen's cries for help.
Kathleen was not the type of person who you would have thought would be in an abusive relationship, and she didn't think she was the type of person to be in an abusive relationship. And so there was some embarrassment, some shame.
In 2001, Drew would bring more shame to their marriage.
Well, hello there. Aren't you a pretty girl? Are you new here?
Sort of.
Sergeant Peterson, but you can call me Drew.
Hi.
Author, Fatal Vows, Joseph Hosey.
Stacy Kales was a teenage girl who had a very rough childhood. She was working as an overnight motel clerk when she met Drew Peterson.
You try that button right there.
Okay.
Just hold it down. Pick that up right there. Just talk.
Stacy needed security. She needed somebody to look out for her. And she thought she found the perfect guy. Yes, he was 30 years older than her, but he was powerful. He was a cop.
What if I got you a job at the station?
At the station?
Sure. Administrative stuff at first, but the pay is good.
You would do that?
Of course. I am going to take care of you. Understand? I'm your guy.
Hmm? 47-year-old Drew begins a secret affair with 17-year-old Stacy. He convinces her to join him in the basement of his house while his wife and children sleep upstairs. But it isn't long before Kathleen finds out. In late 2001, an anonymous letter is sent to Kathleen, detailing Drew's affair and warning her to beware of speaking to police or anyone in city government.
What is this? Give me this.
Is it true? So what, do you like kids now, Drew? Is that it? I'm not young enough for you?
And Kathleen's finding out about this when it's too late for her to do anything. So there's no turning back at this point.
After 11 years of marriage, Kathleen files for divorce. But to add insult to injury, Drew moves himself and teenage girlfriend Stacy Kales into a house approximately a quarter mile from Kathleen. Stacy is soon pregnant, and things come to a head when Drew brings Stacy with him to drop off his children with Kathleen.
Crazy? Why are you bringing her in my house? My kid's in the car. Get her out of here.
Shut up, you old hag.
Don't you talk to me like that. You get her out of here right now. I'm not... What is wrong with you?
Get her, Stacy.
Drew videotapes the fight. Then he pins Kathleen to the ground. And has her arrested for assault on Stacy.
So now they're in the middle of an ugly divorce, and she wants half.
Drew stood to lose a lot of money, half their marital assets, his pension, which meant an awful lot to Drew.
And that's not something Drew had in his plans, and he was going to find a way for that not to happen.
Early on in the divorce, when I represented her, she told myself and anybody else who would listen that he was telling her he would kill her, make it look like an accident.
Kathleen writes a letter to the state's attorney about the threats. She sends a copy to the news media. She tells them Drew knows how to manipulate the system, and his next step is to take away the children. or kill her instead.
She wrote a letter to the state's attorney because she feared for her life. She had nowhere else to go. No one helped her. No one helped her. No one responded to her. So she said, if anything happened to me, this is what I'm doing. I'm writing everything about what is going on with my life.
Meanwhile, Drew grows more and more desperate to hold on to his money.
Shut up. Listen to me. You will never get a dime out of me. Do you understand? I will kill you if you try to take my sons away from me. Are you getting this?
Do you want to press charges?
He wanted to control her. He wanted to make her life miserable. She was a laughing person. She was a crazy one. Not him. She slept with a knife under her mattress. It became very difficult and she feared for her life.
The police responded 18 times to that house. And Drew Peterson was never arrested. He was not so much as handcuffed and put in the back of the car because Drew was one of them.
She told the police. She told friends. I saw her tell a state's attorney. I don't know what else Kathleen could have done.
Now married to Drew and with their first child, Stacy also begins to feel Drew's ever-increasing need for control. He monitors her communications and tracks her every move.
Stacy Peterson's sister, Cassandra Kales.
I mean, she never cheated or lied to him or anything, you know, but she couldn't even run to the store to get bread, and he was checking the receipt. You left at this time, who were you talking to, and, you know.
Stacy Peterson's minister, Reverend Neil Scorey.
He just oozed with desire to control every single thing about her. Stacy told me about a time that she walked in the house. She was confronted by Drew, who immediately asked her where she'd been.
Where were you, Stacy?
I was with my sister in Peoria. You know that.
I don't believe you.
I don't care what you think. No! What are you doing?
Seeing that you're lying to me.
And he actually held her against the wall, and he stripped her naked to see if there was any evidence of her being with other men.
Why are you doing this?
You know why! I'm looking for evidence. Can't trust a whore from the streets.
Stacy thinks it can't possibly get any worse. And then, one night, she sees something that shows her that, yes, it can get much, much worse.
Late February 2004, Kathleen Savio has been living in fear of her ex-husband, Police Sergeant Drew Peterson, as the court prepares to award her half of Drew's assets and custody of their children. With the court date approaching, Drew's repeated threats begin to escalate.
She said to me, he's going to kill me, and he's going to make it look like an accident.
Drew's new wife, Stacy, is going through her own hell with Drew's jealousy and violent unpredictability. Now, she is about to discover the true horror her husband is capable of.
Stacy and Drew had gone to bed one night at the same time. She woke up in the middle of the night. He wasn't next to her. And that was unusual. So she looked around the house, and he wasn't there. And then in, like, the wee hours of the morning, she found him in their laundry room, and he was taking off all black clothes.
What are you doing? Where did you go? Drew, what were you doing?
But he dumped something else in there.
You know what I was doing.
She said that she looked in the washing machine, and not only were Drew's black clothes there, but there were women's clothes that weren't hers.
The clothes belong to Drew's ex-wife, Kathleen, and Stacy fears the worst.
Drew didn't have to explain anything to Stacy. She knew how much he hated his ex-wife, and she knew that he would stop at nothing to protect his money. She's living with a monster who's capable of doing anything.
The next evening, Drew drives to Kathleen's home. He tells neighbors that he had twice tried to drop off their sons to Kathleen, but she hadn't answered the door.
It's not like her. You got a key? No, come on. You know she changed the locks.
I got a locksmith I can call if you think it'd be a good idea.
Sure, let's try it.
Better stay out here. She reported me once before.
Here you go, folks.
Thank you, sir.
Knock, knock. Kathleen?
It is clear that Drew had another reason why he wanted somebody else there.
It was almost like he was setting them up.
Knock, knock. Coming up.
God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Drew.
Oh, oh God.
Oh, God, dude.
Oh, God.
Kathleen is found dead in a bathtub.
The police said, well, because Drew Peterson is one of us, we can't actually investigate this. So we'll call in the state police. The only problem is that the state police was not used to doing homicide investigations.
The state police don't do a lot of homicides. They do traffic and drug interdiction, things like that. The lead investigator had never worked a homicide.
To state police, who had no knowledge of Drew's violent relationship with his ex-wife, it appears that Kathleen slipped and fell, hit her head, and drowned before the water drained from the tub.
So a woman is found dead in the bathtub as she's going through an acrimonious divorce, and somehow it's not classified as a crime scene. People are free to come and go as they please, including Drew Peterson, and they let him stay and walk around that house like he owned it.
They really hadn't investigated it at all. They collected no evidence. They really didn't pursue it at all. This woman died, and they immediately decided it was accidental. If I walked into a bathroom with a woman didn't look at all like a position a person would fall into, I would investigate and look for evidence.
Sergeant Drew Peterson and his young wife, Stacy, are questioned about the death.
He was questioned at his own department in the break room instead of being pulled into an interview room at the state police. He was allowed to sit with his wife, Stacy, when she was questioned, which is absurd.
It's really no secret that you used to fight a lot with Kathleen, Stacy. So I've got to ask you a few questions.
He coached her to lie to the police about what he had done, that he had killed Kathleen Savio.
Drew wasn't trying to hide this murder from Stacy. In fact, he was trying to help pull her in so that she would be just as culpable as he was.
When is the last time you fought with her?
After questioning, the couple returns home. Less than 1 month later, an autopsy report notes Kathleen's blood-soaked hair, bruises on her body, a one-inch gash on the back of her head, and blood in the dry bathtub. The undisturbed objects surrounding the tub tell no tales of a fall, and much to the shock of friends and family, the coroner declares this an accidental drowning.
So now when you hear that and hear about that evidence, you wonder, how could you have slipped and fell? If you slipped and fell, you would have fallen out.
I was frustrated, sad, angry, didn't know what to do next. How would I go on with my life if I knew it wasn't an accident? What do I do? You know, what do I do?
I called the state police and asked what was going on with the investigation now, and they said, nothing. It's an accident. There's nothing to investigate. And I really couldn't believe it.
Every one of us, without even discussing it, said there's no way that she drowned in the bathtub. There's no way.
You know, he was a longtime sergeant in Bolingbrook, and I think that he had some sway over the whole situation. That's just conjecture, but I do believe it.
Drew Peterson, it seems, has just gotten away with murder.
With Kathleen out of the picture, now Drew can turn his full attention to Stacy, and now the noose is getting tighter and tighter.
Drew cashes in on Kathleen's life insurance, sells her house, and takes custody of her children. His 20-year-old wife, Stacy, is pregnant with their second child, bringing a total of 4 children she must now protect from the monster that sleeps in her bed.
If she wasn't trapped with one child, now she had one child and another baby on the way. So now she's in even deeper, if you can believe it. You know, there's always the question, why would Stacy have stayed with him? We're still talking about a very young woman who had a child, who was married to a man who she knew had just killed his ex-wife and made it look like an accident. There was no escape for her, and she knew there was no escape for her.
You know, she just wanted to take care of everybody. You know, she just wanted everything that we never had growing up for her kids.
Stacy's life with Drew is becoming more terrifying and more violent.
I was there one time, and then she comes out, and Drew's just standing in the doorway, you know, and she's like, come on, Drew, stop, get out of my way, you know, and she went to go beside him, and he just threw her, you know, shoved her back, and she flew back. She wasn't expecting that. She's like 110 pounds. They would get in their little arguments like a married couple would, you know. She would call me.
He just scares me. He doesn't trust me, and I don't know why. And anytime I'm doing anything, he's just there watching. God, and the way he looks at me, it's scary.
Maybe you guys should try counseling or...
Yeah, maybe.
Stacy goes to her minister for counseling.
I saw a lot of red flags when I counseled them. He would talk about, well, I really want to see where she goes because she's the kind of woman other guys are going to look at. And he belittled her and made her feel like she was not good enough, that she wasn't pretty enough, that she didn't look like she used to, you know, after having kids. What a sick situation to be in.
He's tracking her phone. He's wondering where she is. He's accusing her of having affairs with other men, younger men.
But then, like, as things progressed, everything just got worse and worse.
It was total control of all facets of life. Financial, friends, where you could go.
He knew how to manipulate the system, manipulate people, follow people, track people.
But I think there were times when he was very good at isolating her as well and keeping her from being able to go where she wanted to or to reach out for help when she needed help. And that just tends to be the typical MO of a domestic abuser. She got in way over her head, and she had no idea what's next.
All she knows is that she can't go to police now. She can't do anything but have this baby and just hope he doesn't kill her.
But sadly, hope will not be enough. Stacy is doomed.
Murder Made Me Famous. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
New to Podcast One, The Producer's Guide with Todd Garner. Join Todd as he interviews the biggest names in Hollywood, like Adam Sandler.
We drove down there and my brother's like, do you have your material? I said, what do you mean?
Rebel Wilson.
I couldn't interact with these people, so I put on this American accent and pretended to be American.
And Isla Fisher.
I just wrote a passionate letter explaining how much I wanted to be a clown, begging them to accept me.
Download new episodes of The Producer's Guide with Todd Garner every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts.
This program contains graphic violence and sexual situations. Viewer discretion is advised. Bolingbrook, Illinois, late 2006. Stacy Kales Peterson carries the secret knowledge that her husband, Police Sergeant Drew Peterson, murdered his former wife.
All she knows is that she is in big, big trouble.
Now she fears she's next.
The thing about Drew was that he wanted to take control of the situation and make sure that he could manipulate it the way he wanted it to be.
I got a call from Drew, and he said, I'd love to talk with you. And I went out, and we got in the car, and we drove all over Bolingbrook. He definitely wanted to convince me that there was something wrong with her emotionally, mentally. He kept talking about how at that time of the month, she just acts crazy.
Meanwhile, Drew Peterson has been turning Stacy into his own living doll.
She doesn't even have her looks to herself anymore. He has a say on everything. She gets LASIK. She gets breast implants. She gets all this work done, paid for by Drew. There are consequences if she doesn't do everything that he tells her to do.
But Stacy has finally had enough.
Stacy looked at me and she goes, so how do you feel about me getting a divorce from Drew? I'm scared. And then she kind of looked at me and she's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, look what happened to Kathleen. Then her face turned pale white.
Stacy Peterson meets with Reverend Neil Shorey for what will be the last time.
August 31st, 2007. I'll never forget the day. She said, he did it. And I said, he did what? And she said, Drew killed Kathleen. she said that I was the only person that she had told. And I said, what do you want me to do with what you've told me? And she said, I just want you to keep it to yourself. And I did. And I wrestled with that. I wrestled. I wondered if that was really the right thing to do. Immediately after I left, I checked my voicemail, and it's Drew Peterson.
Drew Peterson leaves a voicemail with Reverend Shorey, stating that he is aware of Stacy's meeting with him that morning. Then, oddly, he invites the Reverend to take a flight with him aboard his ultralight aircraft.
I wonder if he knows that Stacy just told me what he's done.
Can you imagine getting a phone call from somebody who you know has murdered somebody who says, hey, let's go up in my plane? Who knows what would have happened if he'd gone?
Stacy contacts the only authority figure left who can actually help her, Kathleen Savio's divorce attorney, Harry Smith.
Stacy, then Peterson, who was obviously very adversarial in nature to me during the Kathleen Savio divorce, she called me to talk to me about her plan to divorce Drew.
In the interest of providing for her children, Stacy drops a bombshell.
She has two little kids, and one bit of information, one thing that might be able to help her figure out how she's going to provide for these children, and that's the knowledge of what Drew had done.
She asked me if we could get more money in the divorce, if we threatened to go to the police and tell them how Drew killed Kathleen. And that was sort of a big stopping point in that first conversation I had with her.
Stacy fails to grasp that withholding the knowledge of Drew's crime is a felony in and of itself.
You know, I had to tell her right then and there, no, that's a crime you committed. I mean, that's concealment of a homicide, possibly. That's a felony.
Concerned for her safety, Harry Smith asks Stacy one very important question.
Did he know that she was talking to a divorce attorney? I don't think he would have been happy knowing she was talking to me. I did caution her about that on the phone, and she assured me that he didn't know about the cell phone that she was calling me from. I certainly had grave concerns in talking to her.
Stacy had now told two people about this murder, and before you know it, it's out there.
2 days before Stacy's disappearance, her sister Cassandra desperately tries to get Stacy to leave with the children.
Like, I am telling you, Cassandra, if anything happens to me, Drew did it.
And like, my heart stopped, and I said, let's go. Let's go right now. I said, no, we're packing up the kids and we're going. She goes, no, I can't, because if I take the kids, he's the breadwinner. Exactly what she said. He's the breadwinner. Money doesn't buy happiness, you know, and Stacy knew that. She didn't never wanted that. She just wanted to be loved, something we never really got when we were little.
On October 27th, 2007, Drew and Stacy Peterson have their last fight.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming over.
Hey. Can you smell it moving something?
Yeah. It's up here.
That evening, Drew calls his stepbrother, Thomas Morphy, and asks him if he will help him move a heavy container from his home. He recounts that the container was warm to the touch and very heavy. The next day, Cassandra cannot reach her sister.
So Stacy's sister tried to call her, and she had two numbers to try and reach her on now, her regular cell phone and her secret cell phone. She didn't answer either one.
Based on her knowledge of Drew and Stacy's volatile relationship, Cassandra fears that Drew is responsible for her sister's disappearance.
I'm calling about my sister, Stacy Peterson. She's been missing since yesterday. I feel like her husband, Drew Peterson, might have something to do with it.
Stacy is officially listed as missing on October 29th, 2007. But Stacy's family suspects she's not just missing. They fear she's already dead.
She wouldn't leave her kids. She wouldn't leave me.
Meanwhile, Drew Peterson is going around telling people that Stacy had left him for a younger man.
He was saying that she left her car at the town airport and she had gone to some Caribbean destination with a guy that he never identified and who apparently was never reported missing himself.
Newspaper reporter Joseph Hosey and his editors are the first to connect Kathleen Savio's death with Stacy Peterson's disappearance.
I was probably getting ready to go home when my boss came up to me and said, hey, remember that guy, Drew Peterson, you wrote about a few years ago, whose wife was in the bathtub? I was like, of course I remember. And he's like, well, his current wife is missing. And I was like, really?
It is not long before Reverend Shorey reads some alarming news.
On the front page, it says, you know, police officer's wife goes missing. I ran and found my wife, and I said, I know what happened. I know she did. She's not just missing.
Within days, you had his cul-de-sac was full of TV trucks.
I don't have a statement to make. I know you're doing your job. Please remember this is a neighborhood with other people living in it, all right?
Reporters are now asking questions about Kathleen Savio's drowning, and the Savio family thinks Drew has killed again.
My heart broke. Because it's starting all over again. He did it to someone else.
Everybody was looking for Stacy. Everybody wanted to know where she was. The one person who didn't have to do any of that was Drew Peterson, who said, oh no, she's with her boyfriend.
Drew Peterson avoids the media at first, but it is not long before he considers himself a star and hams it up for the world to see.
I think Drew's behavior was just highly inappropriate behavior.
Please go home. Please leave me alone. Please don't get involved in my little world.
I think people are drawn to that. The media was morbidly fascinated.
Only weeks after Stacy's disappearance, Drew seizes on that fascination by appearing on major network television.
I can look right in your eye and say I had nothing to do with either of those incidences.
Drew Peterson denies his guilt. He states that he is simply unlucky. But local prosecutor James Glasgow, the Will County State's attorney, isn't buying Peterson's explanations.
With 29 years of experience, there was no doubt in my mind it wasn't an accident. That was clear.
Meanwhile, with a mounting prosecution, an outraged public, and a trail of incensed family and friends, the spotlight on Drew Peterson begins to illuminate skeletons in his closet. And it begins with the court-ordered exhumation of Kathleen Savio's body.
So imagine what was going through Drew's mind. He had to wonder if this was the time it was all going to catch up with him.
With one wife dead and his current one missing, Drew Peterson can no longer hide behind his badge. And the entire nation is tuning in to see if this cop is a killer.
The media is everywhere. This is becoming a national story.
I can look right in your eye and say I had nothing to do with either of those incidences.
It is 12 days after Stacy goes missing, and a judge approves the exhumation of Drew's former wife Kathleen's body. What they discover will change everything.
What happened to Kathleen? Maybe she didn't just fall down in the tub accidentally. Drew assumed that any evidence on Kathleen was buried along with her, and now it was going to be dug up.
A well-respected medical examiner from New York, Dr. Michael Baden, examines Kathleen's body. Based on previously overlooked blunt force trauma injuries indicative of a struggle, the examination reveals that what was deemed an accidental drowning in 2004 was actually a homicide.
Ultimately, my sister spoke from the grave. I believe that.
Investigators can only theorize about what happened to Kathleen the night she was murdered. They speculate Drew snuck into her home and surprised her. A one-inch blunt force laceration on the back of Kathleen's head could be an injury from a faucet. Bruises on the chest and legs indicate a struggle, a fight for survival. Crime scene photos show a body in fetal position, as if it were placed well after the drowning. Drew steadfastly declares his innocence of both Kathleen's murder and current wife Stacy's disappearance. He unabashedly basks in the light of the public eye.
They're calling Drew a suspect in his fourth wife's potential homicide since no one can find her. But pretty quickly, the headlines turn to be about Drew, and Drew wearing his American flag bandana while he stands around outside and bantering with us, with the reporters.
And having this guy in my face like this, this lady having a microphone in my face like this.
Drew even makes an appearance on Larry King Live.
Where do you think Stacy might be?
Stacy loves male attention. She could be...
Ran off with a guy?
Ran off with a guy, and she could be dancing somewhere. I don't know.
And let you go through this?
If she wanted to get away, do you ever really know anybody?
It was classic blame the victim with Drew Peterson. He would talk about what his wife was like when she was on her period and how difficult she was.
Stacy would ask me for a divorce on a regular basis. I'm not trying to be funny, and it was based on her menstrual cycle.
Although Stacy was missing, Drew did not care about what was going on. That was old news to him. He loved being on the cover of magazines. He would contact us after being on the cover because he liked the pictures that were being used of him. That was Drew Peterson.
As Drew poses for photographs, his stepbrother, Thomas Morphy, reveals that he helped Drew remove a large blue barrel from the house on the night Stacy disappeared.
When Thomas came forward, Drew went on the offensive.
I really don't want to badmouth Tommy. He has some serious emotional issues. He was losing his house, losing his wife. Everything is invented. None of that's true.
Investigators believe the blue barrel contained the body of Stacy, the wife who Drew feared would expose him as a murderer if she were to divorce him. Once again, investigators can only speculate on the circumstances surrounding her death. Mounting media pressure and a wrongful death suit filed by the Savio family, State's Attorney Glasgow issues a warrant for Drew's arrest, despite a lack of physical evidence. May 7th, 2009, 19 months after Stacy Peterson vanishes, and more than 5 years after the drowning death of his ex-wife Kathleen Savio, Drew Peterson is arrested for Kathleen's murder.
Finally. But now what? What next? Is he going to get out? What's going to happen? Now, what about the bond?
Bail for Drew Peterson is set at $20 million. With insufficient funds, Drew is stuck in prison for the next 3 years as lawyers on both sides mount their cases.
The main evidence that authorities had in Kathleen's death was her statements. All they had was a scared woman in the midst of a acrimonious divorce who might have said anything at the time. So it wasn't a slam dunk case that they had against Drew Peterson because it was still his word against her word, and she was dead.
The prosecution has only scraps of evidence from a poorly investigated 2004 crime scene.
They still had the problem that they never collected any evidence in the first place, and now it's 3.5 years later and you really have no physical evidence at all.
But in April of 2012, a new law nicknamed Drew's Law allows the jury to consider hearsay evidence, effectively allowing the dead to speak from the grave. Under the new law, prosecutors can use incriminating statements made by Kathleen and Stacy.
In essence, what you're basically allowing the victim of a violent crime to do is to testify from the grave.
And Drew's victims are about to speak with a vengeance not even Drew himself could have foreseen.
Drew did it.
Please leave me alone.
Media-crazed killer cop Drew Peterson stands trial for the murder of his ex-wife while his current wife remains missing. With little more than hearsay evidence, will the voices of the dead and missing be enough to convict Drew?
I really thought Drew was going to be the rap until Harry Smith testified, and then everything turned.
Divorce attorney Harry Smith is called on by Drew Peterson's own defense. Drew's defense team is hoping Harry can discredit Stacy by testifying about her attempt to blackmail Drew in a divorce. But the strategy is about to backfire.
It was probably surprising to the jury to begin to hear testimony from Stacy Peterson through me on the stand, not speculating, but talking about Drew killing Kathleen Savio.
I was watching him testify, and it was deadly. His testimony was deadly.
When Harry Smith testified, the house of cards came tumbling down, and it looked like maybe the first time in his entire life, Drew Peterson was not going to get away with it this time.
On September 6th, 2012, after just 14 hours of deliberations, the jury announces its verdict.
I heard that we were supposed to be on a verdict watch, so I sat at my kitchen counter, and I had my iPad in front of me, and I opened my Twitter account, and I just sort of scrolled through, and all of a sudden I see all these hashtags with Drew Peterson attached to it. And a few minutes later, there were just hundreds and thousands of mentions of guilty.
Drew Peterson is found guilty of murder in the first degree of his third wife, Kathleen Savio.
When I saw that guilty, I just had all these years of emotion come out of me, and it was, my wife and I cried together.
I was happy to see that verdict come back, but it was still surprising because this is a pretty big stretch of the whole application of hearsay, without a doubt.
Of all the evidence presented at trial, jurors admit that the most compelling were the hearsay statements. On February 21st, 2013, Drew Peterson is sentenced to 38 years in prison. His statement to a hungry press corps is pure Drew.
I thought he would have got more. Just more, but I was happy that when I added all the numbers up that he would be in there until he was in his 90s.
It keeps him in there. It's a death sentence. 38 years is a death sentence. He's going to die in there. I mean, the guy's a dead man walking. He looks horrible. And it makes me feel wonderful.
But even behind bars, Drew Peterson proves he can be as deadly as ever.
He supposedly tried to put a hit on Jim Glasgow, the prosecutor in Will County who convicted him.
It just shows that he thinks he's above the law, even in jail.
If convicted, Drew faces another 60 years in prison.
He's got an appeal pending on his murder conviction, but if I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet he's going to win any appeals.
To this day, I think he's a dipped and dyed sociopath.
Drew Peterson was convicted for Kathleen's death, but Stacy's disappearance is still unsolved. There's a family and there are friends who are searching for answers on what happened to her.
Cassandra continues to search for her sister Stacy with her own trained cadaver dog.
I'll give him everything I have and own to know the answers. I don't even need the answers. I just want to bring my sister home and give her the final burial.
My hope for Stacy's family is to get justice.
I really don't think she'll ever be found. I really don't think Drew will ever be charged with doing anything to her. But I also really don't think Drew's ever getting out of prison anyway.
Drew doesn't care about Kathleen. He doesn't care about Stacy. He doesn't care about their family. It's all about him. He is worthless.
The families of Stacy Peterson and Kathleen Savio know how their loved ones would want to be remembered.
She'd want to be remembered as a fighter. She was a fighter to the end.
It's always hard to believe that human beings can treat each other in a manner like this. You can never totally protect yourself from anything, I suppose.
There's no safe place for a woman who is married to a police officer that is dead set on getting rid of her. There's just not.
I know more about domestic violence now
than I ever did, because there's so many Drew Petersons out there.
I think Stacy would want to rescue other women that are in her exact situation.
Drew Peterson remains in the Menard Correctional Facility in Chester, Illinois, where he is appealing his conviction. The body of Stacy Peterson has never been found.
That concludes this episode of Murder Made Me Famous. Don't forget to go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, for clips, extras, and more. And check out new episodes every Saturday on the Reels channel. Don't forget to subscribe on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.